Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online, so if there's something you'd like to talk about or a Bible question we can answer, we invite your call now to 844-322-2742. That number's good in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody. And now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Hear it, believe it, live it. We hear the good news, we believe the good news, and then we're to live out that good news by faith in Jesus Christ. Sometimes that living it out is very difficult for us, and I know many of us would think, gosh, if I could just have a teacher that could help me with the living it out part. Well, the Bible tells us that we do have a teacher, and it's the grace of God. Titus 2:11, for the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people, and it teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify himself, a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good.
That's powerful.
So
stuff
we
right
have
there.
A teacher.
Yes.
And many of you have been being taught by this teacher, you know, from the very moment you believed in Jesus. You just didn't know it. But the grace of God has been active in your life, and it's the one that is educating you. It's aligning you to God's goodwill and purposes in your life. And it's a wonderful teacher, isn't it, guys?
Yeah, you know, what I love about this passage, Bob, is that, you know, it basically contradicts every one of us who has said things like, well, it's great to have grace, but, you know, we also need obedience. It's great to have grace, but we also need something else to motivate us. It's great to have grace, but, you know, you can have too much grace. Watch out for grace. I mean, you know, in Titus, we're reading that the grace of God leads to godliness, and the grace of God leads to self-control, and the grace of God teaches us to live this godly life that is, you know, resisting worldly passions and living uprightly. So I think our definition of the grace of God needs to grow some. It needs to expand some. I can trust that the grace of God is not some puny little message that leaves me just, you know, laying around passively forgiven, but it actually puts me in an active place of bearing fruit and living uprightly and equipping me for the future. The grace of God is really powerful. The grace of God is the very thing that teaches us to live the Christian life.
Yes, indeed. I was reading an article the other day in a preaching magazine, and the guy that was being interviewed has been in the pulpit for many, many years, and this article was all about the grace of God. And one thing he said, and he said, don't fear grace. And a lot of times we fear the grace of God because we think that folks are going to abuse it, that folks are going to just look at it as a license to sin. They're just going to go out and do all sorts of things. But right here we see the very opposite. Yes. We don't have to fear the grace of God. We can actually submit ourselves to its teaching work in our lives, and the result of that is going to be a harvest of righteousness. There is going to be righteous living. That's what the grace of God is going to continue to teach us to live out by grace through faith in Jesus. So it's quite an amazing passage when you really start to dig into it and see the power of the grace of God, not only to save us, and that's just over the top incredible, but then to teach us how to live this Christian life, and how it really works is by grace through faith in Jesus. That's the way God designed it, and so grace is that active teacher in our lives. And I'm telling you, if you look back on all the teachers you've had in your life, none will compare to the grace of God.
That is good stuff, Bob. And Andrew, thank you for sharing that. And friends, if you'd like to join this conversation, if you have some particular issue you'd like to discuss, good opportunity right now. Calls beginning to come in, but still plenty of room on the board for you, and plenty of time on the clock. 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to go to Fairfax, Virginia, and talk with Chris today, listening to us on WAVA. Hi, Chris.
Hey, guys. I wanted to get your insight on something that I've struggled with for a really long time. And that something is, it's a fear of hurting other people. What I mean by that is I'll say or do something, and then afterwards I'll have these thoughts like, ooh, do you know how that person took that? That was pretty bad. And I'll watch the movie. It's a pretty bad movie. It's a scary movie. It's like, ooh, wow, that person must have been hurt by what I said. It's not quite a desire to be like, it's more just an extreme aversion to causing harm to other people. But I suspect that I don't really know how to entrust other people into the care of God when that happens and just let God be God and take care of them as well. So I wanted to ask you, how does the gospel free us from a fear of hurting other people?
Well, Chris, yeah, I think it's an interesting motivation that we come from as children of God. First of all, we know that the Bible does tell us be at peace with all men as far as it concerns you. And that means, you know, do your part, play your role, be available to God, and allow him to exude the fruit of the Spirit through you. But then you turn over into Ephesians chapter 6. And it says not to do this with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, and not to men, doing it as to the Lord, not to men. And that's a really interesting motivation. And I think at the core of what you're describing is you're trying to find that delicate place where, you know, you don't want to wreck people's lives. You don't want to be harmful. You don't want to be ugly to someone or cruel or rude. I mean, 1 Corinthians 13 says that love does not act rudely. But at the same time, you don't want to be a slave to people-pleasing. You want to live from Christ and allow him to be your motivation. I would say this, from what you're telling me, I've experienced to some degree what you're talking about, and I think it really can come from a place of insecurity. I'm feeling insecure that I don't want to be rejected by someone. I don't want to lose their friendship. I don't want to lose the relationship I have with them. I don't want them to think ill of me. And I think that we can end up overanalyzing things to a large degree. What did I say? How did I say it? Did I say it right? Could they have possibly taken it wrong? And we replay it and we replay it and we wish we could have do-overs over these tiny little things. And when we get obsessive about that, I think the answer is, you know, I have to be willing to have gotten that thing wrong. I'm willing to have not done it perfectly. I'm willing to be rejected by other people because I am accepted in Christ. And yeah, I'll go back and repair something if the Lord makes it obvious. But I don't want to be a slave to the enemy causing me to overanalyze every little thing and obsess about it, because then I lose my freedom in Christ and I become my own judge and jury instead of letting the Lord take care of those things.
Does that help, Chris?
Does that help?
I like what you said when you said that you keep your eyes on God's acceptance of you, and that kind of gives you the freedom to get things wrong. I've actually realized about myself that sometimes I think of God as like he's telling me to get it right. He wants me to get it right. He has these high standards. And so I think that maybe part of it might have to do with a misunderstanding of God, that he is not willing for me to mess up, or he really doesn't want me to. And I guess my next question could be, how does the gospel show us the truth about God on that matter?
Mm-hmm. Well, Chris, let me just add to that by saying that, you know, if you ever find yourself, and I think this might apply to people listening as well, if you find yourself exiting conversations quickly because you don't want to impose on someone, you find yourself constantly leaving rooms a few seconds or a few minutes early because you don't want to be a bother to someone else. You find yourself apologizing to other people all the time for things that aren't really offenses. These are signs that the Lord really needs to work in me a deeper sense of my acceptance and my identity in Christ, that I'm a person of value because He says I have value. I may be used to a whole lot of rejection, but I'm not going to let those old feelings control me. I'm going to allow new relationships to flourish and give people a chance to accept me and assume the best about me. But I may have these old tendencies if I've experienced a lot of rejection in the past. And you said, you know, how does the gospel speak into that? I think we just come back to I'm perfectly loved. I'm perfectly a chosen child of God. I'm perfectly accepted. God desires me. He wants to live in me for eternity. He likes me. He's for me. And as these thoughts really take root in our thinking, not just at a theological level, but a personal level, it starts to affect how we think on a daily basis, and it even impacts our behavior in relationship with other people.
Mm. Yeah, I think you nailed it right there. That's really what I need, is a greater understanding of the acceptance that God already has for me and the time that He wants to spend with me, not because He has to, but because He wants to. That's some good stuff you said, Andrew. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your call, Chris. Great to hear from you.
Yeah, thank you all. I really appreciate it.
Take care now. Richard, we've said many times that this message, this ministry being on the air live, is very, very vital. And I think this call with Chris and so many others points that fact up.
Yes. The only reason we do this is to present the gospel of Jesus Christ, this incredible good news, to other people. And I want to read one little verse out of Philippians 4. This is verse 17. Put this in context. Not that I desire your gifts. What I desire is that more be credited to your account. That phrase, more be credited to your account, has to do with bearing fruit. So when you give to a ministry, and we're asking that you give to ours, we want 260 of you to give to us between today and the end of the week. What we're asking for is a partnership where the people like Chris or others who have called us and have these really serious and interesting questions about living the gospel out in a daily manner, they are the fruit that you bear just as much as when we get to talk to them face-to-face or on the phone.
Yeah.
This is not, you know, who's better than whom. It is absolutely a partnership in the gospel, and we desire for you folks to have the joy of having an impact in someone's life and bearing fruit in those lives. And we really would like 260 of you to give in these next 3 days to help us meet.
How do they do that? How do they give? Somebody's listening. They want to give. They've been, their heart has responded. What do they do?
Go to our website, basicgospel.net. On any page on that site, there is a donate button. You can give electronically that way. You can call our office at 844-412-2742 and talk with Billy. She'll be happy to take that gift, or you can send it to us in the mail, 751 Hebron Parkway, Suite 310, Louisville, Texas, 75057.
Boy, you remembered that address.
I did remember that.
Wow. It's good stuff.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's go back to our phone lines, and we do hope many of you will respond to that. 260 of you. We need that, and that will really help us. You know, we've passed tax day. Mm-hmm. It's time to, let's use some of those extra dollars that we have now to put toward the good news of Jesus Christ.
Yes, great idea.
Well, let's talk to Kathy in Queens County, New York, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, good afternoon, brothers. I have a little statement I want to make. And I'm sure other listeners have encountered this issue. When life becomes so overwhelming and sometimes so crushing, I find myself in faith failure. And it's very troubling to me. It's upsetting. It makes me cry that I seem to put my focus on my difficulties as opposed to having my focus on the Lord. And it's very troubling. I was wondering if you could give me some words of encouragement or some scriptures in particular that I can read to help me out.
Well, Kathy, first, you know, thank you for calling in and sharing with us what's going on. You know, I wouldn't look at your circumstances as competing with Christ in your mind. Just instead know that the Lord is with you and in you, in your circumstances, and that, you know, sometimes you have to think through things. Don't let the enemy beat you up about thinking about bills that you need to pay or a circumstance you're dealing with. Remember that God's given you a sound mind, and He's going to give you the wisdom in that moment to deal with things. So it's not you thinking about circumstances or you thinking about Jesus. Remember that it's really Jesus within your circumstances. And, you know, Christ lives in you, and He loves you, and He likes you, and He's for you. But as you said, I mean, planet Earth can really be painful. We can experience some crushing circumstances. The Bible talks about that. Paul says that he was perplexed and that he was, you know, persecuted and struck down and all kinds of things. He experienced things that he said were near-death experiences. And then he says, you know, the Lord allowed him to experience that so that the sufficiency that he knew would not be of himself, but instead it would be of the Lord. So, you know, we're all in this training ground, and we hit some really painful, even crushing circumstances, whether it's things that bring up anxiety as an emotion or things that bring on a sense of depression. Difficult circumstances can tend to do that, but it's worse when we feel the accuser saying, you're not handling this right, you're not doing good enough, I can't believe that you're not walking in total victory with this, what's wrong with you, what kind of Christian are you? So remember that the enemy wants to heap on condemnation, and as Bob read earlier, and I know these guys will have some thoughts as well, but we read that the grace of God is what's going to teach you to walk through this. So remember that as you get counsel, God's voice is gentle and kind and forgiving and gracious toward you. And He wants to walk with you as you think about these things. It would be a mistake to avoid the circumstances. Instead, allow the Lord to live in and through you in the midst of these circumstances, and let him give you the attitudes that you are going to need walking forward. Guys, you have some more thoughts on that?
Yeah, Kathy, I want to point you to a couple of passages that I think can be meaningful to you during this time. One is Matthew 11:28 through 30, and I'll just read 28. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. So your answer is in Jesus, as you well know. Philippians 4:4-7, which it says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You know, during the trials and tribulations of life, we need protection for these minds and hearts of ours. And that comes through a thankful attitude as we present our request to God. And what that's saying to Him is that you know that He's big enough for the circumstance. And that's what it needs to be saying to you, that you know that God is big enough for the circumstance. That's why you can thank Him in the midst of it. And as you do, you will see that mind and heart of yours being protected. And then the last passage that I'll point you to is Romans 8, and it starts in verse 31. And basically, if God is for us, who can be against us? And so often, Kathy, as we go through difficult trials and circumstances of life, we think God is actually against us, that this is an action that he has taken to punish us for some sin in the past. Well, there's no punishment for sin. And the reason that's true is because Jesus took all of your punishment, Kathy. Every sin that you will ever commit, have ever committed, will ever commit, Jesus has already dealt with it. He took the punishment once and for all. So you've been set free from the punishment of sin. And so you know when Paul says, if God is for you, who can be against you, that God is for you and that nothing can separate you from the love of God. So God's love is right there for you in these difficult, overwhelming times. So count on that and begin to thank him for that. And I think that will move you right through these circumstances. But here's what I want to do, Kathy. Let me put you on hold. We'll get some information from you. And then I want to send you a copy of my book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, okay?
Thank you so much.
You hang on the line.
I would certainly appreciate in your private times if you guys could pray for me, because I am struggling.
Well,
I'm really struggling.
Okay. Well, let me put you on hold, and we'll be doing that. But we want to connect you to the love of Christ, and I think this resource will help do that for you, because that's what you really need at this point. So hang on, Kathy. Let us get some information, and we'll send you a copy of that book. Okay.
Thank you, and God bless you all.
Thanks, and to you as well. And thanks so much for your call.
Yeah, and it's great for us to be available while Kathy is in a time of need.
Yes, indeed. And that's why we're here. That's why we're here live, to be able to interact with people in real time. And so that's a very encouraging thing. And Kathy's not the only one
that's
being overwhelmed by the circumstances of life. There are literally thousands of people across the United States and around the world. And we need to be a source of encouragement one to another. And so I'm glad she picked up the phone to call.
Yes, indeed.
Well, let's go to Angela in New York City, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Angela.
Yes, Brother Bob. It's based on Proverbs 19:19.
Okay.
Yes, if there is have nothing to do with the people that they get easily angered. Are you familiar with this?
Sure. Yes. The passage says, a hot-tempered person must pay the penalty. Rescue them, and you will have to do it again. This is Solomon understanding that in his life he had seen this over and over again. Someone who is not in control of their own emotions, even if you rescue them, you're just going to have to go back and do it over and over again. They need a heart change, and only the Holy Spirit can do that change.
Well, we appreciate your call, Angela. We're out of time. I'm sorry we didn't have more time for you on today's broadcast. You call again on another edition of Basic Gospel. As we said earlier, Basic Gospel is a listener-supported radio broadcast. We're able to do what we do because there are people all across this country that stand with us, that partner with us to get the good news out to as many people as possible, to connect as many people as possible to the love of Jesus Christ. We need your help right now. We want to get through this month in good shape, and we're asking for 260 people. Now, if there's more of you, we're not going to cut it off at 260.
Right. We're not going to tell you when 260.
That's right, but we need 260 people between now and the end of the month to pick up that phone, to call us at 844-412-2742 and say, hey, I want to give to Basic Gospel, or to go to our website, basicgospel.net, click the donate button, and follow all the instructions there, and let us know that you want to partner with us to get this good news out so that more and more people can be comforted, can be encouraged, can be growing in this grace of God that is ours in Christ Jesus.
Absolutely. And, of course, through the end of the month, for your gift of We will be glad to send you a copy of Bob's book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, and its companion study guide. We call it our combo pack. Hope you'll take advantage of that. Again, donate on any page or call Billy at 844-412-2742. Well, for Bob, for Richard and Andrew, Bob Davis saying God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.